2 Chronicles chapter number 20. What I'm going to do for the sake of time, I'm just going to read the text verse. And then the Lord being our helper, we're going to preach the entire chapter. I didn't say we'd do it all this morning. I didn't say we'd do it all this morning and this afternoon, but just however the Lord leads. Amen. Sometimes the Lord wants you to park in a place for a little while, and sometimes he just wants you to go on, but we'll just try to see and mind the Lord. The Bible said Jehoshaphat is praying in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's not all that's going on, but in our text verse, that's what he's doing. In verse number 12, he said, "Oh, our God." Aren't you glad we can call him our God? He said, "Wilt thou not judge them?" This is talking about the enemy. We'll be reading about them in a few moments. He said, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." You see, Jehoshaphat was humble. He was not haughty. He was leaning on the Lord and not leaning on his own might. It's not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's where the victory comes. He said, "A great company, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." Now my text is here in the latter part of the verse. He said, "Neither know we what to do." We don't know what to do. He said, "Preacher, I've never been a place in my life where I didn't know what to do. Hang around a little while. There'll come a time, there'll come a place in your life when you won't know what to do." But Jehoshaphat had the right answer. He said, "But our eyes are upon thee." He was looking for orders from headquarters when he didn't know what to do. Amen. And I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject, what to do when you don't know what to do. I believe God will use it. Young people sitting here today making decisions that are going to affect your lives, your children's lives, your mom and dad's lives. And sometimes you don't know what to do. Amen. You're in good company. Sometimes mom and dad don't know what to do either. Sometimes mama and papa don't know what to do either. But I'll tell you this, there's a God in heaven wants to be our great shepherd, and he wants to lead us in his way. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege to stand. Lord, the singing has been wonderful. The congregation, the choir, the special, every song, Lord, has ministered to my heart. Thank you, Father. Lord, that even in this chapter, we're going to see the importance of worship, the importance of praise, the importance of sound, singing and songs that cause us to make melody in our heart unto the Lord. Yeah. Father, I pray now this morning that you'd had your preacher. Lord, I realize without you, I am nothing, I can do nothing. Lord, I believe you've put this message in my heart and you're trying to help the pastor and the people at Bible Way this morning. Father, I pray that you'd help us all. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's turn back in chapter number 20 to verse number 1 and just drop the plow and start plowing. Amen. See what God would say to us today. Brother Brian, he uses that little phrase, I don't know if he got it from Brother Jack or where he got it from, but he said, "Let the preacher dig around us." Well, we'll drop the plow or drop the mattocks or whatever it is, amen, that needs to dig us up a little bit, amen, and stir us up for his glory. All right. Thirsty this morning. Chapter number 20 and verse number 1. Let's read down through here just a couple of verses. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying,
There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be, and some of these names are hard for me, but Hazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. The first point I want to make and what to do when you don't know what to do is to realize that we have a very formidable and real enemy. The Word of God is telling us here. And by the way, I was reading in my studies, and sometimes I get aggravated because one fella said they just didn't get this first verse right here. But he talked about those others besides the Ammonite, and all you have to do is just drop down a little bit in the chapter, and it'll tell you about those that were from Mount Seir, and that's the Edomites, amen? So the Bible's right, amen? It's always right. There were enemies to Jehoshaphat and to Judah and the people of God in that day. And you and I have a very real enemy. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with the message on what to do when you don't know what to do? Here's what it's got to do with it. Just as sure as our Lord wants to direct us in His way, our enemy wants us to go away from His way. So just as sure as there is the pull of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we that are saved by the grace of God, just as sure as there's the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I want you to know the enemy is doing all that he can to have an influence in our lives as well. Amen. He lost our soul when we got saved by the grace of God. So now what he wants to do is destroy our testimony and destroy our light and destroy our life. Amen. That's what he wants to do. And the enemy's coming against Jehoshaphat and Judah. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You say, preacher, Jehoshaphat was a great king. Why didn't he just square his shoulders back and take on the enemy? I tell you why. He didn't know what to do. And he knew the enemy was bigger than he was. And by the way, the enemy's bigger than you and I are. But the enemy is not bigger than our Father is. Not bigger than our Lord is. Our Lord can handle the enemy. You and I cannot handle the enemy. If we take fire in our bosom, we'll get burned. Amen. And the Bible tells us the enemy is very real. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Just as sure as God begins to open doors for anybody that loves the Lord, and God allows them to begin to step through those doors and follow God's direction, you're going to be met not with one, not with two, but with many adversaries along the way. But thank God, God is able to overcome them all. In Philippians 1:28, the Bible said, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but the you of salvation and that of God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't like this thing about having an adversary. Well, just lay down, sit down, give up, don't do anything for God. He probably won't bother you very much. Amen. But just as sure as you want to stand up and speak up and go forward for the glory of God, look out. The adversary's in the bushes. Amen. The enemy's all around. But thank God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Jehoshaphat had a very real enemy. Number two, let's look down here in chapter number 20 and verse number 3, 4, and 5. The Bible said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He said, preacher, what else did Jehoshaphat do when he didn't know what to do? Number two, he exercised wisdom. Jehoshaphat exercised wisdom. I believe it was Sunday 2 weeks ago when we preached out of Proverbs on the principal thing, wisdom. Here, Jehoshaphat is exercising wisdom. He said, preacher, where do you see wisdom in these verses of Scripture? We see it exercised, number one, in fear. The Bible said right here, Jehoshaphat feared.
The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Jehoshaphat didn't just blow it off and say, well, they're the enemy, but I'm not going to worry about it. Amen. No, sir. I tell you, Jehoshaphat, listen, but here's that difference. I've tried to paint this picture from this pulpit, the difference between worry and concern. My friend, Jehoshaphat wasn't worried, but Jehoshaphat was concerned. Worry wrings its hands and frets and says, what are we going to do? But I tell you, concern takes it to the Lord in prayer. Amen to the one who can do something about the situation. The Bible said Jehoshaphat feared. Watch this now. And he set himself to seek the Lord. We see it's exercised, number one, in his fear. But number two, it's exercised in his faith. He begins to seek the Lord. Amen. That's where wisdom is exercised, when we begin to seek the Lord. Listen, if we think we know everything about parenting, we're wrong. Amen. We need to seek the Lord. If I think I know everything about pastoring, I'm wrong. I need to seek the Lord. If we think we know everything, listen, that's what's wrong with our country today. We've got men in the White House, men in the Congress, men in the Senate that think they know more than the Word of God does. And we're wrong when we get that attitude. We need to follow God's precious word. That's where wisdom comes from. The Bible said it's exercised in his fear. It's exercised in his faith. And then here's something you don't hear preached about much anymore, but it's exercised in his fast. He proclaimed a fast. He said there's an important event about to happen. The enemy's coming down on us. Amen. And we don't have a chance without God. And he called the people of God together. Listen, and he asked them to fast. He asked them to pray. He asked them to call on the God of heaven. I tell you, listen, Jehoshaphat, I want you to remember this. He was a king. He was not a priest. And he was not a prophet. But he was calling the people of God together to seek the God of heaven. I say, oh God, give us a leader like that in America again. Give us somebody that would call the country together to seek the God of heaven. That's what we need when we don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. They think they have all the answers today. You mark her down. We keep marching the way we are, away from God and away from the things of God. I'm going to tell you, they're going to be scratching their head before long, wondering what in the world are we going to do. I'll tell you right now, my friend, listen, the God of heaven has the answer. He's always had the answer, and he always will have the answer. We need to seek the God of heaven. It's exercised in his fear. It's exercised in his faith. It's exercised in his fast. But then number four, we see his wisdom is exercised in his fellows. Now listen to me carefully right here. Jehoshaphat realized he wasn't alone. I don't think my daughter Amanda knows this. I'm going to tell her from the pulpit this morning. I don't remember what month it was. Some of you all may remember it was last fall when I stood in this pulpit to preach on a Wednesday night. And I couldn't preach. You know what I needed? I needed my fellows. I needed my people. I needed God's people. I was so broken. I couldn't preach. I asked the church if they would gather in the altar. I made the statement somewhere along the way, I cannot carry this burden alone. I remember at least two or three of our ladies looked at me and said, Pastor, you don't have to. That's what we're here for. Oh, glory to God, Jehoshaphat realized, I don't have to carry this burden alone. Let me gather the people together. Let's seek the God of heaven and seek his face. Oh, beloved friend, Jehoshaphat exercised wisdom. The Bible said here, he gathered Judah, gathered themselves together, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. What'd they get together to do? They got together to ask help of the Lord. They said, Lord, we need you. We need some help. We need help. Thank God, the psalmist said, listen, he's a very present help in a time of need. He said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. The Lord of all. That's where our help comes from. I say this morning, I thank God for Jehoshaphat. He had a very real enemy. Jehoshaphat, when he didn't know what to do, he exercised wisdom. Let me give you this, number three. Let's read verse number six down through verse number 13. The Bible said here, and he said, he gathers them together here. They stood in the congregation in verse number 5 of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, now listen, he proclaimed a fast. He talked to the people, but no longer is he talking to the people. It reminds me of a story where a lady said to the pastor, they had prayer meeting and folks gathered in the altar and just started praying, people praying everywhere. Around our church, the praying is mostly toned down. I've been in churches where, man, it seemed like a roof was being raised. Everybody was just praying. One old preacher said, somebody said to him, said, you know, God's not deaf. Said, no, but he's not nervous either. Amen. It don't bother him a bit if somebody prays out loud. Amen. One lady said to the pastor, said, I couldn't understand the word they were saying. Pastor said, honey, they weren't talking to you. I tell you right here, Jehoshaphat's not talking to the people anymore. He's talking to the God of heaven. Amen. He's getting a hold of the horns of the altar. He's going to tell the Lord about the need. Amen. He's proclaimed a fast. He said, I need the people of God. But what I need more than anything is to get in touch with the God of heaven. Amen. Watch this now. Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. That's the third thing in the message today. Say, preacher, how many things you got? Well, if I told you, you'd go to praying. Let's look at verse number 6. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 6. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might? By the way, let me just say this right quick. America's quickly becoming a heathen nation. Let me just say something to you. Listen to me carefully. It don't matter whether they take one nation under God out or not. We'll still be one nation under God. He's ruling in the affairs of men. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Are you listening to me? He turned it whichsoever he will. Amen. Just like the rivers of water. God's not lost control of this thing. Read the Bible. He's in control. The Bible said here, don't you rule over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to thy seed, to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Boy, isn't that a wonderful way to describe Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, a judgment, pestilence, a famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, that thou wilt hear and help. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord. Please look at this, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I'm afraid that sometimes, I'll get to this a little bit later in the message, that we forget there's more at stake than just us old timers. There's more at stake than just old time religion. We need to be thinking about our children and our little ones and our wives, amen, those that are coming along behind. Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. You say, preacher, what did he acknowledge as he prayed to God? I want to give you these things this morning. I believe we'll come back tonight, amen, and pick up the chapter. I've got a whole page of notes right here. Let's look at this in this prayer. What did he acknowledge? Number one, in verse number 6, the Bible said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He acknowledged that the God of heaven has the power and the might to do what needs to be done. Can I say this? My God specializes in the impossible. What is impossible to man is possible with God. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't know. It just keeps coming up in my heart. I think I'm going to hunt me up an old milk can. Everybody knows what them milk cans are. They're about this big. I think I'm going to hunt me up one. I believe I'll go over there and get me some letters cut out of vinyl. And at the top of the can, I believe I'll put these words, "Can God?" And then at the bottom of the can, right underneath that, I believe I'll put these words, "God can." And we can drop those prayer requests with those impossible situations. And my friend, grow to that place where we can believe that whatever we drop in there with God and leave it in His hands, He can take care of it. The children of Israel said, "God, can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness?" I want to tell you this morning, hallelujah, we're living in a wilderness. We're strangers and pilgrims, but God can prepare for us a table in the wilderness. I've been feasting on this passage of Scripture. God can spread the table right in a dry desert, amen. The Bible talks about His power. He acknowledged God's power. Secondly, in verse number 7, he acknowledged God's provision. He said, "Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? And you gave it to us. You gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever." By the way, when you're watching the news, remember that. Israel is Israel, not for time, but forever. God gave it to them. They can try to chew off corners of it if they want to, but it still belongs to Israel. God gave it to them. Let me just go ahead and say this. You can't make a peace treaty with the devil. You never have been able to, and you never will be able to. The devil don't play fair. Amen. He's a liar and the father of a lie. Oh, my friend, Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. He acknowledged God's power. He acknowledged God's provision. Look at verse number 8. Then we'll look at verse 12 as well. They dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, look at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Let me just say this, what he acknowledged. He acknowledged God's presence. One of the things I've been praying for is just for God to show up. I tell you, my God can get more done in 30 seconds than I can get done in 30 years. Isaiah knew what he was talking about when he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." I'm telling you, we need a revival of the presence of God in the house of God and in our homes as well. He's there. He's there. But many times He's forgotten. Jesus in the book of the Revelation in the church of Laodicea is standing outside the church knocking, desiring to come in. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Oh God, deliver us from that spirit. We need Him like we've never needed Him before in this generation that we live in. We need Him. He acknowledged God's presence. I like that, don't you? Moses said, "Lord," boy, he had it right. I tell you what, every pastor, every evangelist, every missionary ought to get this spirit about them. Moses said, if your presence don't go with me, I ain't going. Amen. Let me tell you something today. Listen to me carefully right here. Don't get mad at me. But there's too many people faking it today. There's too many people, my friend, that's learned how to get on the internet and get them a sermon. Are you listening to me? Instead of getting hold of the God of heaven. Many, many times in my life, I've had people say, where did you get that? Where in the world is God's man supposed to get a message? Supposed to get it from the Word of God. And we get seed thoughts from everywhere. I listen to men preach. I read outlines. I read stuff. Amen. The whole series of messages on knocking holes in the darkness came from one illustration in one book that I read. God will give you seed thoughts from everywhere. But get in the Word of God and dig it out. Let God speak to your heart. Amen. God, deliver us from this deadness and dryness that our society has come to know as religion, come to know as church. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. I believe God will always have a place for His men to preach. I said it and I ain't taking it back. I believe God will always have a place for His men to preach. It might end up in a basement. It might end up standing on a stump on the hillside, but I believe God's men will preach till the King comes. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. Here's a man that acknowledged the presence of Almighty God in their midst. He was a man of prayer. He acknowledged God's power, God's provision, God's presence. But I want you to look at verse number 9 with me, please. The Bible said here, if when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence. For thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. What did he acknowledge here as he's praying? He acknowledged God's promise. There's nothing. Charity, you got Olivia back there, and Bob is her daddy. He has to work today. But the day will come when Olivia will look up at her mommy and say, but mommy, you promised. The day will come when she'll look up at her daddy and say, but daddy, you promised. I'll tell you, there's not one thing wrong in our prayer life, amen, with quoting the promises of God. God is not at our mercy, we're at His. But my friend, a man of prayer is going to incorporate the promises of God into his prayer life. He's going to say, God, you promise. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't take the time to research it out, but this is a parallel passage with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. God has promised. God has promised. God has promised. Jesus come along, and the Word of God said, all the promises of God in Him are yea. Every one of them are still good today. Amen. Thank God. Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. He acknowledged God's power, God's provision, God's presence. He acknowledged God's promise. He acknowledged His possession. Look at verse number 11. He said, behold, I say, how they reward us to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Listen, Jehoshaphat's praying and he's saying, God, it's not just the land that you've given us. It's not just the land that belongs to you. But God, we're your people and we belong to you. We're the people of God this morning. The redeemed, the born again, the saved. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. It would do us well in our prayer life to remember we're His possession. We're His. Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. When you don't know what to do, remember you have a very real enemy. Remember that Jehoshaphat exercised wisdom And remember that Jehoshaphat was a man of prayer. Let me say something right here. Please hear me carefully right here. We're all prone this way. If we're not careful, we wait on the need to arise or the enemy to arise before we become men and women of prayer. You remember in Daniel's life how that they passed the decrees that nobody could pray towards Jerusalem, that you had to pray towards Nebuchadnezzar's God. You remember all that. And Daniel, the Bible said, opened his window towards Jerusalem as he did aforetime. He didn't wait on that stupid law to be passed to start praying, amen. He just wouldn't quit praying. He just kept praying like he always had. And in Jehoshaphat's life, he's a man of prayer. Let me give you this. And all Judah stood before the Lord. Verse 13, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now, I don't know. It just dawned on me, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but the Bible's making a little bit of a distinction here between the little ones and the children. It could be that some of these are not accountable to God yet. Could be that some of them are. I will tell you this. I'll stand right here on this truth. The very first time that the Holy Spirit of God deals with anybody about their sin, they're accountable to the God of heaven. You can mark that down. If that happens when a young'un is seven, or when an old man is 70, they're accountable to the God of heaven. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe there's a time when we sin because it's in our nature. But there comes a time in our life when we sin because we choose to. We like it. Amen. We like it. And here, what I want to say is this: in this man of prayer's life, he has the priority right. He says, God, it's not just about me, but it's about our little ones. It's about our wives and it's about our children. A man is not worth his salt if he's not concerned about his family. And a man that will not provide for his family, you can get mad at me if you want to, I'm just going to quote Bible, is worse than an infidel. That's what the Word of God says. I've always said, and I believe it needs to be said, there's a difference between being unable to work and being unwilling to work. There's a difference. There are many people working that are much more unable to work than many people that are unwilling to work. By the way, that's just about been the downfall of the society that we live in. We need to be praying for our little ones, praying for their wives, praying for our children. Well, we've got off to a good start, don't you think? On what to do when you don't know what to do. Realize when you don't know what to do, just as sure as the Lord is trying to show you the way, the enemy's trying to pull you another way. Realize when you don't know what to do that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And like Jehoshaphat, be a man of prayer. Be a woman of prayer. Be a person that will get a hold of God. Admit that we're weak, but confess that he's strong. I believe, Sister Danita, that song you sang about peace in the valley has a line in it like that. I am weak, but thou art strong. Let me remind you of a truth that Paul gave us in the book of Corinthians. It's in our weakness his strength is made perfect. It's not in our strength that his strength is made perfect. It's in our weakness that His strength is made perfect. Paul said, rather, I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I believe this morning that before this week is over, there may be somebody in this building, maybe pastor, that don't have any idea what to do. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to go back and review this chapter. I believe God will help me to have a little bit of wisdom in seeking His face and knowing what to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to be here today. Lord, for the attention of our precious people. I pray, God, today You take the message, use it for Thy glory. I pray, Lord, today that You'd help us to be faithful in these days. Help us, God, to know and to do Your precious will. Father, we love You. It's all because You first loved us. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts.